Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Wednesday. Today on the radio show, we got John Martin. We have John Martin every Wednesday. And we got Chris Harrington. Straight up at 10 o'clock, as we do every day. There's a certain theme here emerging. There's a consistency to this program. We got John on Wednesdays, and we got John straight up 10 o'clock every single day. And then we have Sam Hardiman. Sam Hardiman's busy. Chris and Sam have been exceedingly busy. Chris has a piece up about the Grizzlies. He has a piece up about he's resumed his list of the 25 greatest Grizzlies. Jeffrey, we have another entry there. And a one-hit wonder, as it were. And he's written a piece about film. And then Sam has written about the court case involving the National Guard and whether the National Guard is going to be allowed to be here. And then he wrote about city employees getting raises. They're all going to make 40 grand. I will say, I don't think 40 grand is a lot of money. What do you think? 40 grand?
What are comps? Like, I don't know.
I would not like to try to be making it on 40 grand in this day and age. Have you seen what a hamburger costs these days? Anyway, Sam will join us in the second hour as well. No comps in terms of what other cities. I got no idea. But we'll talk to Sam about
The idea of being a public servant is you don't get rich.
Yeah, but that's. I literally wonder what the poverty, poverty wages. It's not 40, but anyway, we'll talk to Chris, we'll talk to Sam, we'll talk to John, we'll do all of that. But I miss something, Jeffrey.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember a time? There's this website that says things that used to be in Memphis, right? And it's all these restaurants that have closed and all these things that used to be in Memphis. And a thing that used to be in Memphis, a little closer to home, is the Grizzlies would win a game, and then the next morning, we would play the highlights.
Yes, I scrambled around before the show to get them.
You have to think way back. I mean, this is back when they would win a game.
Mm-hmm.
So this was,
they used to beat the Spurs.
This was a long time ago. And they would win a game. I mean, this would really happen. At the end of the games, you would tote up the points. And the opponent would have X, and the Grizzlies would have at least X plus one. And that would be victory. And then if they were home, streamers would fall down, right? And they would play win, 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 although now they've switched to a gorilla song. But anyway, it was a lot of fun. People would be happy. They'd float out of the building if it was a road trip. Oh, Pete and Brevin, they used to have this saying. It was Pete's. And he would say, see if you remember this. Hammer, nail, coffin.
I don't recall.
That's what he would say. And then the next day we come in and we play highlights.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so much fun. And sadly, those days are gone. The Grizzlies have now lost 9 out of 10. I have to say, last night, watching that unfold, I was like, they were going to do this. Was there a moment when you thought they were going to do it?
I think when they regained the lead.
When Sed hit the three and they're up by one, yeah, you're like, oh, man.
Yeah, I did still try to not forget they don't have a point guard. And so some of those late possessions can get ugly. And that was a helpful reminder.
I will say I was pretty optimistic.
Oh, speaking of other things in the past, you know what else I miss?
What?
Remember when, like, we'd call timeout and you could give, like, the grease board to Jaeger and, like, he could come up with a play that would actually, like, get the ball in bounds or maybe, like, score? I miss that.
Again, tougher without a point guard. I was pretty confident throughout much of this game. I'm like, you know what? They're going to do it. And then Sed hits the three. They're up 101 to 100. And you're like, look at those plucky players. They don't have a point guard. They don't have the first point guard. They don't have the second point guard. They don't have the third point guard. They don't have their fourth point guard. And they're going to pull this off. There's 3:13 to play. They're up one. And then 11-zip. Then 11-zip from there. And so
I know we focus on the 11-0. I also would like to focus on they went 3 minutes and 12 seconds without scoring. Period.
Yeah. I mean, listen, they have now put together a 14-point fourth quarter. That was last night. And a 16-point fourth quarter. That is the previous night. And didn't they, I think they had an 18-point fourth quarter against Oklahoma City, right? Remember in that one, that game, which was pretty promising?
The Sunday, yeah.
There's always been this team in every season. It feels like, oh, third quarter has been a problem. You know, like there's always some quarter.
Well, this year it was first quarters.
Yeah. And now we're down to fourth quarters. If you are scoring 14 points in a fourth quarter, it is a problem. And listen, I still, although I am depressed that we are not playing highlights, I still feel like the impact of Edie has been so dramatic so early that and Cedric Coward is so composed and fearless and good so early that I am not just gutted by this team right now. I'm not. Like I you know, like Edie comes back and they out rebound them 59-38. Second chance points. 22-2. Like it's at, again, they don't have Wemby, of course. So we know that. But it was an instant reaction. It wasn't like, oh, I wonder if he's going to ultimately make a difference. He comes back in. He immediately makes a massive difference. Honestly, that the second chance points, 22-2, is why they were in this game and why they were winning this game, because they only shot 40%. They points off turnovers, I think they were minus 18 in the points off turnovers.
Yes.
It was
24-6.
Dominance on the boards that enabled them to stay in this game. And so I don't, and then I am, it would make sense to me, it would make sense to me that if you don't have a point guard, or your second point guard, or your third point guard, or your fourth point guard, that you would struggle when it comes to winning time.
Especially when De'Aaron Fox played on the other side.
Yeah, and it's not even just no point guard. It's like this team didn't have playmakers,
yep,
period. And it
creators,
doesn't, and it doesn't have, like, call 12. You can't call, like, that's when are you calling 12? You're calling 12 with 3 minutes left, right? It doesn't have someone to run the show. Having said that, there are things that are deflating about this. A, just the watching it unfold, the futility of watching it unfold is just miserable. And then Jaren going 0-6 in the fourth quarter. Like Jaren going 0-6 in the fourth quarter. Edie had his chances too. Like Edie was good, but I
thought a big miss. I'm not putting the whole game on him. I did think a big miss was that hook shot. Remember they're down like
100%.
Were they down two or three? I can't remember.
A little hook shot. Yep.
And he had a chance. Like they got him the ball in the post. He had a good matchup, and it wasn't even close.
Meanwhile, Harrison Barnes is doing the sweeping hooks, sweeping running hooks.
I did wonder how much when Jaren stepped on that guy's foot and rolled his ankle, I did kind of wonder if that impacted him. Because it wasn't just Jaren on offense. Like, they kind of switched on to him the last 3 or 4 minutes in the fourth quarter, and they just cooked him defensively, too.
And then, of course, Landale was terrible, too. Like, he missed the free throws. He was blocked at the rim. It's just a complete collapse down the stretch. It was too bad, because that's what Reggie Miller, all he was talking about was Saturday's collapse, as if he was
a precursor.
And sadly, he was then correct. Anyway, the Grizz lose. No highlights for us.
I do agree with your fundamental point, though. I have thought the last two games have looked better. Now, is that also because, I mean, last night you could easily say who the Spurs had on the floor.
Yeah.
But I also wonder, like, with Cleveland on Saturday, it's like, how seriously are people taking them? But the thing for me that is noticeably better is, like, they can get a stop now. It used to just, it felt like, you know what I mean?
It is a light switch. Is good. Yes. It's completely different. And so I also, like, it's just true. I'm like, okay, this is nice. They got two pieces here. I mean, what did we say at the beginning of the season?
You want to feel better about...
I want to have some pieces. Well, what we wanted to feel better about was two things. We wanted to feel confident in Ja and Jaren and what they could do together and their ability to stay healthy and on the court. And that has been a failure. Like, right?
Incomplete, Jeff.
To this point, I do not feel better.
Oh, no, we would be withdrawal passing. This is the can I get out of this class and not count on my transcript?
I do not feel better about them. Yes, exactly. I do not feel better about them than I did heading into the year when I was already uncertain about them. I feel worse, right?
Yes.
But then the second part of it was, let's come out of this year knowing that there are some pieces that we can to really be viable pieces, potentially third and fourth best players to put around Ja and Jaren.
Yeah.
And right now I feel very comfortable with that. Like, I feel Jalen Wells has regressed. He's not whatever, but between Coward and Edie, I feel, and then the two draft picks you're going to have coming, I feel pretty damn, again, I don't feel great about the foundation, Ja and Jaren. That story will be yet be told. And it's the fork in the road that Chris has talked about. In the end, will Zach and Coward, moving forward after this year, will Zach and Cedric Coward be pieces who you are trying to put around Ja and Jaren, or will they be the next core because you've moved on from Ja and Jaren?
Yeah.
That's a and again, they look like they'll be better as pieces than a core. Like, they're not, I'm not saying they're going to be star-level players, but they're a good head start, even if you go that direction.
I mean, I do think it's noticeable. Now, granted, that last night there was not a ton of talent on the floor, but I do find it noticeable when guys that are calling games that haven't seen Coward play, they all leave impressed.
How can you not? And it feels like every damn game. Like, I don't, like, it's hard for me to think of a game where he didn't do something that was impressive. Last night, 19-11. Edie had 8-11. I thought Vince, honestly, for, you know, having to do what he does.
I had no problem with
14,
Vince.
14-9-9, he only had a single turnover. Like, that was good. Chris has written a piece about this, and he pointed out that Cam is a mixed blessing. Because on the one hand, 6-10, 15 points. Like, he was whatever. He was also minus 23.
It's a problem with Cam because...
And at one point, they were clearly hunting him.
Yeah, like, to me, it's not even necessarily like, oh, he doesn't try on defense. It's like, he just physically gets overmatched.
He can't do it, yeah. He just physically can't do it. So now you've got the Kings. Here's the schedule. The Kings, the Mavs, the Nuggets, the Pelicans, the Clippers, and then the Kings again. Okay? It's a King sandwich, really. Okay? Because, although that wouldn't be right, because the... You define a sandwich by what's inside the sandwich,
right.
Not the. It would be like saying it's a bread sandwich.
It's a King bookend.
It's Kings, Mavs, Nuggets, Pelicans, Clippers, and Kings. Okay. So, I am offering you Kings, Mavs, Nuggets, Pelicans, Clippers, Kings. I am offering you 2-4.
Oh God, that is that's a good line to set, because obviously
it wouldn't take one, and you ought 100% take three.
Because in my head, my head was like, "Give me 3-3," and you offered me 2-4.
And because you get to lock it in.
Yep.
You get to lock it in.
I think they're so far back that I'll say, "Don't give it to me," because I'll, like, you know, this is like when you're chasing. You're down already, so just go ahead and just fire up a parlay.
You're gonna need,
you know what I mean?
You're going to need 3-3.
Right, you need a hit.
To feel good about this, because you are currently 4-11.
Correct.
I don't know. Like, I felt bad at the end, but I don't feel bad. Sue me. I don't feel bad about this team right now.
But I also think that is related to how badly they look.
Oh no, it's all contextual.
Correct. It is. But I do.
Well, it's Ja's absence. Here's the truth. I feel better on the days that Ja is not there than on the days when he is there and he is bad Ja. That is much more depressing to me than the days when he's not there. The days when he's not there, I can tell myself, oh, Ja's over convalescing and is getting his head right, and when he comes back, he's going to be good Ja.
Well, and there's also the excuse of, what do you expect? They didn't have Ja.
What do you expect? They don't have Ja. When they have Ja, you got no excuse, and he just looks like garbage, which he has.
It is way more depressing. I agree.
That is much more depressing to me than this. Oh, those plucky lads out there. Look how good Zach looks. Look how good Cedric. What do you expect? I actually feel okay about that. It was certainly an ugly close. Other news, before we get to John Meyer, we'll talk to him about Memphis basketball, Memphis football, and other matters. But we do have other things to discuss. The Lane Kiffin saga rolls on. Dan Wetzel's written a column that says as follows. Do you want to always be known, whatever you think about going to LSU or Florida, do you really want to be known as the guy who left your team in a playoff year?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I mean, we've talked about this. I think this is a fundamental question. Now, It's entirely, I also acknowledge that this is true. I think your initial reaction, that's, well, no. Like, you quit on a playoff team? Like, isn't that the whole point? Like, your idea of is the only reason you would theoretically go to another job is so you could have a better shot at the playoff. Well, here's the playoff. Like, that's what it would be. I do leave the room for the possibility that this is just the first of situations that we're going to see like this.
Others will do this.
Right, because, like, that's just the way that there's always going to be this weird.
Well, and it won't be Ohio State.
No. Right?
It will always be.
Well,
but the group of five teams.
You know, there's another one that we're not even talking about.
Situation every year.
John Summerall could be in this position.
John Summerall could 100%. Where do you think he is most apt to be headed? Auburn?
If you made me guess today, Auburn.
And he could be in this position. You think he could have two this year?
Yes.
Now, the advantage that he would have is that I think he can presume he would lose the first week.
Well, and the other advantage is it's not frowned upon to go from a G6 to...
It would be in the playoff.
To an SEC team. Like, I mean, Luke Fickell had this decision to make, and he had the Notre Dame job.
And he passed.
And he passed. Now, I also wonder this. Do you think he regrets it?
Yes, I think he probably regrets it.
And I do think that's another part of it for Lane Kiffin. It's not just staying, it's... What if the next guys go there and blow it out of the water and you sit there and go.
And I'm sitting here and that, if he goes, let's be clear. If he goes, it's because he believes, whether you folks believe it or not, that he has a shorter stick, that he's got less to work with at Ole Miss. Not because he has less money, but because the geography also does matter to some extent, right?
I also think it would boil down to this. I think it is easier... Definitely at LSU, and probably at Florida, to build your base with high school.
Right.
The state of Mississippi, yes, it produces talent, but it does not produce talent that's ready immediately, historically. And the fundamental problem with that is, okay, well, am I going to spend all the money to bring these kids in, have them not be ready, not play, have them leave? And so you can build more around high school at those places and then supplement with the portal.
He went on McAfee yesterday. He did say that the story about the deadline, he would have to decide by the Egg Bowl. Not true. He said there's no ultimatum, no deadline. And then beyond that, he just said the same stuff about we're having a great time here, whatever. I think the general perception of it, the little piece of news, whether you believe him or not, is that there was no deadline. And then... That beyond that, it was just the same. It honestly felt, the perception was it was highly scripted. What exactly was the point of doing this?
Yes, because McAfee got to the end and he goes, I know there's some people asking, where are you going to coach? I should have said, where are you going to coach next year? But he gave this would have been the response. And then he spit it out, the coach speak. But I thought the one miss was he did not ask about the family video and photos of the Plains in Baton Rouge and Gainesville. But yes, the general consensus, even from non-Ole Miss fans, was that felt scripted and that...
Okay, well, so Gabe's theory is simply this.
All right.
If he were going to stay, he would have done it by now. Just like Cignetti has done it by now, just like Rule has done it by now.
I disagree with that.
And why?
Number one, most of the guys that we're referring to, they are not CAA clients. And CAA is much more
aggressive about shopping.
Correct. And leverage. And it's not just about you, Jeff Calkins, CAA client. It's about all CAA clients. The longer that you're in this, the more that everything goes up. Because Lane is clearly the number one candidate at multiple jobs. The longer Lane stays in it, the longer that you can drive up the price for everything else.
And then we did get the playoff standings, and I talked you into something that turned out to be wrong yesterday. I said it would be Oklahoma. You got Oklahoma, Alabama, Notre Dame. And in the end, there in that the order now is Oklahoma, Notre Dame, and Alabama, which I still think is...
I forgot the number one rule because I was thinking of, all right, they have the same records. I should have stuck with this when you came back at me because your point I thought
my point was Alabama has four wins against the top 25, and Notre Dame only has one good win.
Correct. And whatever, two losses, the two losses for Bama, well, one's a two-score loss, but then it's another two-point loss. But to me, I forgot the number one rule. No matter how much they say recency bias doesn't matter, it 100% matters. Who lost?
Who lost when?
Correct. Who lost most recently?
Alabama, Notre Dame play on a neutral. What's the line?
That's a great question, because I think they power rate about the same.
I would think it would be practically pick 'em, honestly.
I think it would be functionally irrelevant. Like, it might be a point or two either way, but like that game's going to be decided. Like, I think that would essentially be a pick 'em, because I think Notre Dame probably power rates slightly better than Bama. Like, and according to SP Plus, it'd be on a neutral, it'd be Notre Dame by 2.5.
I've decided what I want to happen.
All right, I'm ready for it.
I want USC to beat Oregon, and I want Michigan to beat Ohio State. And then the world will explode. Because they will.
So you just want an entire thing of like 11-1 or 10-2s.
Complete. Like, and then they will have to go to 16. Because what you were saying the other day, I think, is exactly right. I was making the point that there are going to be worthy teams left out. And normally, you actually, when you get to this point, you're like, who cares who's 12 or 13? Like, they're not. You know what? Actually, there's going to be some good teams who could be left out here. USC is a perfect example. I think USC is, that was an impressive win, what they did against Iowa. Like, I think they could very well be left out. I don't know that Texas is good, but.
And I have no problem with
the
Texas thing that was the most heartening last night
was Texas being toast.
Because I just felt like on Saturday night,
the way they got blown out,
like that should be it.
I think you're right.
And I don't care. Like,
they don't need another chance after that.
If they beat A&M, congratulations. Go celebrate that.
I'd like Vandy to be able to go. If they win the rest of their games, I'd like. Anyway, so my point is, I think there's going to be enough anger directed at the coming from the folks who are left out that group of five bid, the automatic group of five bid, is in danger. And you're exactly right. The way to preserve that is to expand to 16. Right. If you expand to 16 because you're worried about a lawsuit from the group of five or whatever else, you expand to 16, then you can keep the group of five bid in there. And I think if Michigan beat Ohio State, and I think if, because then you're in a situation where you're going to have, I think USC would still be left out. If USC beats Oregon, or Oregon's left out, like someone,
no, I think Oregon is left,
left out
because Oregon has
that,
this.
Yeah, right. Because at that point, Oregon's left out, and then the Big Ten is enraged. Right? Oregon's left
well,
out.
Well, the problem is the Big Ten's also fighting another war.
Well, with the private equity stuff. Yeah. So, I think you
notice
how
we've gotten a lot less absurd playoff Big Ten proposals over the last month or two because they're fighting another war.
Anyway. It's a that's what I want. I want complete chaos, and I don't think either of those things are.
So you want 10-2 Miami, 10-2 Notre Dame, so that way they have to pick.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, you just want like
everyone would be 10-2 pretty much in the whole world, you know. And so that would be great. Anything else leap out at you last night? There were five SEC teams in the top 10. BYU and Utah were 11 and 12. I think raising the possibility that the Big 12 could get to. Certainly if BYU wins the championship game.
I think so. The problem is I don't really know how BYU and Texas Tech play again and it's any different. It wasn't like Texas Tech like had the most explosive offensive game and they just played.
No. They would have to win that. They absolutely would have to win that game.
But it's possible, yes. I am in the camp of I think BYU's kind of underrated. But I also get it. Like, their one opportunity to show up, they looked non-competitive.
LeBron came back. He's good. The Memphis women's basketball team, I'll be honest, I expected them to get blown out by Ole Miss, and they did not. They took them to OT. They sort of had the same issue that
The men's
Grizzlies
team
had.
Oh, the Grizzlies.
The Grizzlies had.
They couldn't get a possession.
Couldn't score down the stretch, yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back, talk to John Martin on the other side. It is the Jeff Gawkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by John Martin, as I am every single Wednesday. Well, if he shows up, John and Jason, of course, Jason and John from 11 to 2 every single day. John joins me now. And John, I just have to say, I'm driving around yesterday, and I'm wondering, like, you guys have a jihad against Ryan Silverfield. Like, I have my questions and doubts, and everyone has their concerns, but you, and particularly your partner, oh my goodness, want to fire him yesterday. That was impressive. How do you keep up the energy?
Tune in to find out. Day three, you know, there's no, you know, they picked a bad time for an open week over there, I'll say that. You know, part of the dynamic with doing a two-person show is you don't always have to agree, right? Like, it's not fundamentally required to anything your partner says.
Some suspect that in a two-person show that the producer brings you together before the show and says, okay, you take this side and you take that side. And the disagreement is cultivated and but that's not true, is it? You guys?
Oh yeah, no, that's definitely never happened. We've always, you know, decided our own. That might be true at like First Take or something like that, you know, but right. Locally we've always had total and full autonomy over our show.
That is a level of preparation that also you don't embrace, so
right. We don't prepare whatsoever.
Right.
So you don't have to always fundamentally agree, but on this one, you know,
let's get to that. I think it's fair to say that Jason's point is, given this university's ambitions, mm-hmm. As an athletic department, and given Ryan's record of underachievement in terms of winning the conference, getting to conference championship games, building momentum and building attendance, that even though one can argue that he has done a perfectly respectable job, that that's not simply not good enough at this moment of time, that they have to buy him out. They've got to make a change, and they've got to do it now, or else you're going to risk Memphis football seeing the same trajectory as Memphis basketball. Is that a fair restatement of his position?
I think for the most part, yeah. And you'll have him on Friday, so I'm sure he'll, break it down for you.
So which parts
of
that do you and don't you agree with?
I mean, I agree with basically all of his premise. That's not really my issue with it. Not that I have an issue. My issue is just that while all this is, pragmatic and reasonable, I think, relative to, the landscape that's changed and the money that's gone up and all those things, like, I just don't believe that right now there's an appetite to do this. There was a real appetite. I mean, there was a different administration with Tubby Smith. It was a different president. It was a different time. I just think the appetite was there in a way that it is not currently, with Memphis football. I think also, there was disagreement on, the hire of Tubby Smith, right? Like, I don't think David Rudd, wanted to ultimately, I mean, he did it, but I don't think it was like his first, second or third choice, And so I think when, the thing started going south, I think he was much more motivated to find people to pay that money because, hey, we got to get out from under this. This is a terrible hire. And again, I just don't think there's going to be that from Bill Hargrave or the powers that be
in Memphis.
You
fundamentally agree with him. You just say, what's the point of having this?
I mean,
it's given that it's not going to happen.
Right. I mean, I don't make that decision.
But you would, if you were AD, you would be trying to raise the money to fire him.
I would be trying to say, hey, yes, because my fundamentally my view of it is, if you know by year six that it's not going to be good enough, why? And I think they do. And I think honestly, everybody
I
does.
I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true.
Well, what's going to change in year seven?
I think everyone would agree that it has not been good enough. I don't think we know for certain that it's not going to be good enough.
Well, I mean, we don't know for certain, but why would we believe that it would be?
Because it's been getting better and better. It's been trending, it's right.
Like no, it's not.
I don't have the in front of me, but like years two
we're
or three,
currently sixth in the American.
They were sixth, seventh, and eighth, and right now they're not. Right now they've had 2 years that were fourth, and this year was kind of a rebuilding year. I mean, I actually don't rule out the possibility that. Listen,
I mean,
again, and I'm hold on. Listen. Wait, I don't rule out the possibility. Tulane's going to have a new coach. Tulane's going to have a new coach. USF is going to have a new coach. Do I rule out? In fact, I think they're going to get to the championship game next year.
Oh, really?
Well,
yeah.
I think they should get there every year. So I think they will get there next year.
Again, right, and then when they don't get there next year.
I'm no fan. If you want to know the truth, I'm no fan. I would prefer it if he get another job. I just objected to the I don't think they know it's not going to be good enough. I don't think that's true.
Well, that's because they don't want to acknowledge it, right? Like they don't. They want to sort of fool themselves into believing that it could be better. But like it's not like he already had a 4-year starter at quarterback. He already has basically the most money in NIL in the conference. Tulane's already changed coaches, dog.
I know that. They're changing again. I mean, it's crazy.
How many times we got to wait?
He's the ultimate. It's listen again. I'm put in this position of defending him, whereas I it's kind of it's embarrassing. Every other coach gets first. The teams get hauled up to other conferences. The coaches get hauled up to other conferences. And there's the captain
and
of this ship.
Never plays in the championship game, yeah. No matter.
No,
what.
Listen. I'm not. I've written
next
that
year's the year per
it,
caucus.
It has, no, I'm not. I'm with you fundamentally. I don't think it's a serious conversation that they're having. So therefore,
I think it should be more serious than it is. Like, and I just feel like, all right.
I'll say this though. One of the reason it isn't is that, and I do believe this is true. You fire a coach, certainly at Memphis, the history is, when do they fire a coach?
When it's like really, really awful.
When it's awful, they fire Tick Price, right? They fire Tommy at the end after he had collapsed. They fire Larry Porter. You can say what you want about Ryan. It has not been as bad as Tubby. Like, Tubby was awful. Ryan is, right? Like,
I think that's exactly right.
So they fire people when it's ugly, when it's horrible, when it's bad. They don't fire someone when it's this is, you know.
To be honest, if I was gonna like, if I was going to try to like come back at the argument, I would say, look, you're trying to move like a Power Four program. Like, this is something that a Power Four program would do. They would, you know, like a championship winning.
Well, and even they don't anymore. Like, I mean, let's be
right,
honest,
right. Now their contracts are significantly more expensive,
but relative to their income, they're not. You know,
fair enough.
You know, like Florida State's gonna keep Mike Norvell. I mean, we see this. Wisconsin's keeping Luke Fickell.
Like, and I will say, I guess the only thing you would say is Boise State. Boise State 2 years ago fired Andy Avalos, who, you know, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, played there. And what was his record? I'm looking this up right now. Andy Avalos at TCU, or excuse me, at Boise State was 7-5.
Defensive coordinator, I think, at TCU.
Yeah, he's at TCU now. Yes, he played at Boise State, though, as a linebacker. And he was 7-5, 10-4, and they fired him when he was 5-5.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
That's Boise State now.
Here's the point. I actually agree with Jason in this way. I wish a booster would be motivated enough, rich enough, to do what he wants, honestly.
Right.
Like, I think it would be better for the program. I just do. Like, and I am, and will the next coach, if there were a next coach, will that coach have as high a winning percentage after 6 years as Ryan does? And will they win as many bowl games as Ryan has? And will they have?
Well, I don't care about the bowl games.
And will they have the Power Five record that Ryan has? I don't. I think it's very possible that they would not have any of those things. But they would get to a conference championship game, 100%.
They'd probably get to two,
and they might put some people in the seats. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so I think, like, and I do think that is another large reason why Memphis doesn't want to do it, because it is inherently very risky to do this, because you don't know who you're hiring. Like, you don't know who that next coach is going to be. Like, it could be a first time coach. It could be, you know, who knows? Like, I think they don't really have an idea. And that's another reason why, like, who wants to be the AD or the administration that puts their neck on the line to fire a coach that wins 10 games a year?
Look at how Memphis was clowned nationally for firing Tubby, and Tubby was awful, you know?
That was 2 years, and he was a Hall of Fame coach.
People still clowned Memphis. They would absolutely clown Memphis. I would not do it
because I'm worried about the public
backlash. I wouldn't either, but that risk would come with it. Yes.
I do think that, like, as we're talking about reasons why Memphis is not going to do it, you know, like that, you just add that to the pile. You just add that to the pile. So I understand.
To be clear, I actually fundamentally agree with Jason. Because I think there's, like, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe behind the scenes, Ed Scott's moving.
But
I think there's fundamentally zero chance of it happening. It's not something that
he's not getting another job. You know, like that. That's not happening. Like, he's not.
Doesn't feel like it.
I would just be like, because in the end, how do you sell that to your fan base? Like,
well, and if that's true, by the way, which I agree with you, for those who would come back and say he's so great, if he's so great, how come literally he never gets another job offer?
He's
at one of the best stepping stone jobs in the country, and he doesn't get a job offer.
And the answer is because he's everybody else does. Championship game.
And the other people, by the way, aren't all perfect either. Like some raw goalish. Like, they all have some dings on their resume.
Yeah, Tulane didn't make the American Championship game last year, you know?
Tulane did.
No, they did. They lost.
Tulane did make it last year.
Oh, excuse me. Memphis, okay.
Because they lost to Memphis, they had to go to Army. And remember how cold they were up in West Point?
USF didn't make it. Yeah. And USF isn't going to make it this year. Like, but Golish is still like a golden boy. All right. So give me the best case scenario for Memphis basketball. This trip and beyond.
This trip
and beyond and beyond.
This trip. Best case scenario, they land back in Memphis safely.
With no
turbulence or anything
stings,
like that.
No.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I told you guys that this Memphis team is not going to be good. I mean, even after that Ole Miss loss, people were like, "You're overreacting." People always accuse me of overreacting. I have to say, I have to go through this exercise with them all.
Is it because you overreact?
I don't think I overreact. I think I just react. That's the thing. It's like I just react. The people think
no,
any
you,
reaction
you
is an
overreact.
One guy tweeted me after the Ole Miss loss, and after I tweeted, he said, "Don't listen to this garbage." And then he came back after the overreact.
You totally overreacted to Cedric Howard having a clunky preseason offensively.
You're bringing in
100% overreact
text.
To things
you're
all
bringing
the
in
time.
Private texts, which are not in the public.
You over domain. You overreact all the time. No, you overreacted even on the air about Cedric Howard. You do overreact. So let's not.
I mean,
I'm otherwise.
I mean, but I don't think it's. I don't think my overreactions are usually
anyway,
that off.
Okay, you do.
I'm more early than.
I asked for the best case scenario. This was a challenge for you. I'm asking for the best case scenario.
The best case scenario is Memphis. Like this week is just going to be probably 0-2 no matter what. But the best case scenario for Memphis is that they
can they pick off some of these non-conference games. How do they? Can they come together as a team? Can they find a lineup that works? Can they find some bigs who are effective? Like what can happen internally in the team that could make them be something other than what we just saw Sunday?
Wow, I mean, what a challenge you've put to me. I mean, I think, from a personnel standpoint, can you find bigs on the roster? No. You could maybe play smaller and with a lineup that you find, but, that's a hard way to live as well. Doug McDaniel can be a guy that averages, 15 a game for you and all of a sudden, becomes a winner, but that's never what he's really been. You have a couple guys on the roster that play hard and that's really about it. I think, and we probably should have seen this coming a little more than we did. But when you talk about a roster that just has one guy on it, and Sincere Parker, who's been to the NCAA tournament, don't act surprised when you're not going to go to the NCAA tournament.
Haggerty was not a winner before he got to Memphis, but he was
no,
a good
he was
player.
Not. But Tyrese Hunter was.
Tyrese Hunter was. I'll say this: isn't the fundamental issue? I mean, you've talked before, and when we had you on last week, you were talking about how much the money difference makes, and then you wrote a really good column about that over at the Daily Memphian about just the cold, hard reality of Memphis having to, now being outspent by Ole Miss and like the just where they are in the hierarchy. And that's all. I agree with that 100%. Is it not also true, though, that it's not a broke-ass program? And that the key is how they scout, how they spend their money, and how they put a roster together. And it feels like Penny mostly goes on reputation of players coming out of high school and then who he's played against. And then if you're going to succeed at Memphis, it's got to kind of be money ball. Like you got to work harder, mm-hmm. scout harder. Mm-hmm. You brought up UT Martin. And yep. and how they got all these international players, like that's what Memphis is going to have to do. They're going to have to be smarter spenders of their money than these non-conference teams they're competing against. And I don't know. I'll be honest. I don't know that will ever be a strength of Penny's.
Absolutely. And I don't think he's got a great staff in place at this current moment, that's going to help him do that either. I don't believe he's got a general manager. Murray State's got a general manager, bro. And guess what? Murray State looks awesome. I mean, there are certain things that you have to do in college basketball in 2025. You have to evolve. You have to adapt. Penny doesn't have to do those things, right? Like, that is the beauty of being a head coach. Like, you can kind of just sign off. Like, you can have, your assistants go out and find. Like UT Martin is an example that I've used to you privately. But and I sent you their box. They ended up losing by 14 last night on the road at Florida State. But UT Martin has a better record than Memphis right now. And if you go to their roster,
it's all international players.
They're starting five.
All five.
I can't pronounce a single one of them. Like they've decided to go a completely unorthodox route and just recruit nothing but European players.
And by the way, they shoot the three like crazy.
Of course, that's nothing but Europeans, right?
What the analytics say you should do if you're undermanned, particularly, right?
Matas Deniuesas. I mean, like you know, they don't have money, so they recruit these Europeans who, you know, may or may not know, you know, NIL or care or whatever. You know, and it just requires you to, hey, like, you got to know, hey, this kid can play, these kids going to translate, these kids not, you know. And I just feel like you know, Nolan Smith is gone, and Rick Stansbury is gone, and so that player getting assistant, while I've written before, and I do maintain that this is true, that all that really matters in the end is money. If you're behind the eight ball in that regard, like, you have to have somebody on staff who's able to have connections, who's a grinder.
Player getting. Once upon a time, it was building relationships, working under the table, whatever else. Now it really is scouting and spending, right?
Like, exactly. It's, and like, the connections part comes in where it's like, hey, you got to see this kid, right? Like, there's this kid in Lithuania that, you know, even though Memphis has a terrible track record with overseas guys, other than the GOAT, Simon Majak, you know, it's like, you still have to be willing, you have to be creative. Like, and I'm not saying that this happened, but just relying on, oh man, this kid was the number two player in America. He was a five-star kid coming out of high school. Like, you can't really just rely on that anymore, because Aaron Bradshaw looks like he's purely forgotten how to play the sport of basketball. So I think if again, and they don't, there was once upon a time where they did. I mean, I told you that there was a Power Five coach I talked to that said last year he only had two players that made over 400, and now all of that's gone up at least triple that. Memphis once upon a time had a very, very competitive budget. They don't nationally anymore, really, to speak of. And so you really have to adjust your strategy. And I feel like Memphis was a little too slow to do that this year, and the team is going to suffer as a result.
All right. A couple last questions that I'll let you go.
Sorry. I'm just trying to be, you know, I always keep it real,
focused on. I'm already focused on the Grizzlies. They could have two lottery picks. You watch a lot of college basketball. Who do you want them to end up with?
Well, I mean, it just depends where they'll be. I mean, because I could sit here and I could say, man, I really want the Grizz to get A.J. DeBanse, but I don't know that they're, you know.
Well, let's leave out the top three, because Boozer, DeBanse.
Well, let's do a mock lottery simulation right now.
Okay.
And I'll just tell you, like, among the group of players that will be available in this scenario. All right, you ready? I'm going to sim it right now.
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay, right now.
The Grizzlies wind up with,
let's use mine. The Grizzlies wind up with three.
All right, yours is way better than mine. Mine's pretty depressing. 8-14.
Grizzlies got 3-8 in mine.
So that'd be
three is Boozer. Three is Boozer.
Three is Boozer, which would be, you know, incredible. You get to move Jaren up out of here, rebuild
move
around
there. Out of here. He's moving Jaren up out of here.
Gotta go. You know, let me say something. Let me get something on my chest. And you're gonna hate this because you're a Jaren stan. But last night I was watching the NBC broadcast, and they go to T-Mac. After the game, Memphis obviously gets outscored, you know, 10-0 in the final, right. Whatever.
Yeah.
And they go to T-Mac. They're like, T-Mac, what do we need? I know this is tough. What do we need to see from Memphis? You know, just to get out of this funk. He immediately goes to John Morant. He immediately says, well, they got to evaluate John Morant. They got to see, you know, what they want to. And I'm like, I want to scream. John Morant wasn't in the game tonight. And I understand that big picture. Obviously, they're going to have to figure out the John Morant discussion. But my contention is it's not just a Ja Morant discussion anymore. It needs to be a Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. discussion, because he's a $50 million man.
I think that's fair. I don't hate that.
And I think either I don't know what it is, but Jaren Jackson Jr. has an elite ability to skirt real criticism, both locally and nationally. I don't know if it's because people just don't care about him, or if they don't realize he's going to make $50 million
next year. I think he's criticized all the time. I hear
he doesn't get criticized.
All I hear about, he doesn't get criticized by Ja because he hasn't done the ridiculously, flagrantly stupid, self-destructive things that Ja has done.
That was in the past.
He also plays.
Yeah, Ryan's the losses are all in
he
the past.
He does play, too. But like he doesn't play well.
There's no question he gets criticized all the time. Grab a rebound, Jaren. How many people do you hear him ripping him? I hear him all the time.
That's like constructive criticism. I want straight up hatred.
Yeah, right.
The kind that Ja gets.
Yeah. Well, Ja has done things to, you know what it is?
And you clearly haven't forgiven him.
You need to move on, Jeff. I want. No, I'm Ja. You are Ja. Ja, you're both polarizing. Ja is polarizing. You're polarizing. People hate you. But they don't hate me. I'm Jaren. I'm likable, you know?
Why do you have to say people hate me?
I'm Jaren. I mean, well, you were telling me just yesterday how people hate you. We had the private conversation basically saying, you know what? Even on Field of 68, some people just hate me. It's just
very
different.
True. It's very true.
I'm a likable dude who doesn't rebound like Jaren, and you are a polarizing knucklehead like Ja.
I think that is absolutely right. I will say this, though. You would never show up to the radio station in a sleeveless Sherpa.
No, that is true. But I do just O'Call. I do now do O'Call. You know,
I don't think you'd find that there, but maybe you should go check it out.
Exactly right. Okay, give me. I really wanted a player or two who could fall to eight who you're liking. You know, like that. Like not one of the three.
Yeah, I do think it's. I think it's a good. Like let's hope that we get a top three pick in Memphis, but let's not plan on it. Is that fair to say?
I am not planning on it. I am certainly not planning on it.
So I would say like if they're picking in the 7 to 8 range. Chris Sinak from Houston or Koa Pete from Arizona. They're both big men. Chris Sinak, they're both freshmen.
Pete's a dog. He's a little undersized, though.
Who's that?
The second guy. Pete, he's a dog.
Koa Pete. Yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, they're 7 and 8. I mean, there's going to be, some limitation on some level. But Chris Sinak is really intriguing. He's a big. He can really step out and shoot the three. He's tough because he plays for Houston.
You got a point guard for me?
No, we're not really doing that.
Oh, we're not. We're not.
I mean, if you wanted to draft a point guard there,
we're moving Jaren out of here, but we're building around Ja, the solid foundation.
I think you probably shouldn't. If you're going to move one, you move the other. But
we'll need a point guard unless you want to see more of Cam Spencer.
You would go Michael Brown from Louisville in that range. He's a bucket getter, great shooter, hasn't had the
Michael
shooting start.
Michael with an eye.
Yes, Michael with an eye. That's right.
Yeah. He's an eye. He had the big game against Kentucky.
Yep.
He was really good.
Yeah.
We got to get out of here. Give me one bet that you've already wagered for this weekend, John.
This is going to shock you, but I'm going to be on the Chiefs again against the Colts.
You were on the Chiefs last week against the Broncos.
Yeah,
how'd
it was
that
a lot
work
of fun.
Out for you? How'd that work out for you?
This is desperation mode. Desperation mode. The league's not going to let the Chiefs lose 3 games in a row. You know it, I know it, we all know it.
All right, see you, John. Appreciate it.
Holla.
Yeah, we gotta take a break. We'll be back. Chris Harrington coming up on the other side. Sam Hardiman on the other side. It is the Jeff Gawkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.